Welcome to the Soulful Podcast. I am your host, Megan Harmony, a champion at overcoming the tough stuff and enjoying life while rising above it. Soulful living means getting to a place of ease and comfort, no matter what's happening around you. It is waking up excited about what adventures you will go on. It's connecting to the power within you as your source of strength, grace, and security. It's being uncomfortable during growth spurts and leaning into the stretch. Each week, I will share with you about my journey and the experiences I have had. I'll offer you hope and inspiration that it is possible to live a full life, even when the you-know-what is hitting the fan. I believe that love is a language we can all understand, and I want to inspire you to trust and believe in yourself. Your soul is hungry for more. Lean in to get soul full. Hey, Hope Fiends. I want to clear something up today because I think there's a little bit of confusion out there in the world about what it means to be an alcoholic. Not the same as the episode I did before, but in this case, the different types of alcoholic. Like, there's varying degrees of alcoholism. And in the recovery communities, some people are able to stop on their own. Some people need more help. Some people can't stop at all. And I kind of touched on that in the last episode I talked about this, but I want to go a little deeper and give you guys some readings out of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous that kind of cut it down a bit because and you'll hear me talk about how I'm a real alcoholic or a type 4. And there's two different places in the book where they talk about this. And I just think for everyone's benefit, it might be helpful if we kind of break these down a bit, because if you're a real alcoholic like me or a real addict like me, either or, you're not going to be able to stop on your own. And the book explains this so well. So I'm just going to share this excerpt with you. It's from the chapter, There Is a Solution. And it really helped me understand why some of my friends were able to stop on their own and why I couldn't. So it starts out, "It is the purpose of this book to answer such questions specifically. We shall tell you what we have done. Before going into a detailed discussion, it may be well to summarize some points as we see them. How many times people have said to us, 'I can take it or leave it alone. Why can't he? Why don't you drink like a gentleman or quit? That fellow can't handle his liquor. Why don't you try beer and wine? Lay off the hard stuff. His willpower must be weak. He could stop if he wanted to. She's such a sweet girl. I should think he'd stop for her sake. The doctor told him that if he ever drank again, it would kill him. But there he is, all lit up again.' Now, these are commonplace misobservations on drinkers, which we hear all the time. Back of them is a world of ignorance and misunderstanding. We see that these expressions refer to people whose reactions are very different from ours. Moderate drinkers have little trouble in giving up liquor entirely if they have good reason for it. They can take it or leave it alone. Then we have a certain type of hard drinker or hard addict who may have the habit badly enough to gradually impair them physically and mentally. It may cause them to die a few years before their time. If a sufficiently strong reason, ill health, falling in love, change of environment, or the warning of a doctor becomes operative, this person can also stop or moderate, although they may find it difficult and troublesome and may even need medical attention. But what about the real alcoholic? He may start off as a moderate drinker. He may or may not become a continuous hard drinker. But at some stage of his drinking career, he begins to lose all control of his liquor consumption once he starts to drink. Here is the fellow who has been puzzling you, especially in his lack of control. He does absurd, incredible, tragic things while drinking. He is a real Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. He is seldom mildly intoxicated. He is always more or less insanely drunk. His disposition while drinking resembles his normal nature but little. He may be one of the finest fellows in the world. Yet let him drink for a day, and he frequently becomes disgustingly and even dangerously antisocial. She has a positive genius for getting tight at exactly the wrong moment, particularly when some important decision must be made or engagement kept. She is often perfectly sensible and well-balanced concerning everything except liquor, but in that respect, she is incredibly dishonest and selfish. She often possesses special abilities, skills, and aptitudes, and has a promising career ahead of her. He uses his gifts to build up a bright outlook for his family and himself, and then pulls the structure down on his head by a senseless series of sprees. He is the fellow who goes to bed so intoxicated he ought to sleep the clock around. Yet early next morning, he searches madly for the bottle he misplaced the night before. If he can afford it, he may have liquor concealed all over his house to be certain no one gets his entire supply away from him to throw down the waste pipe. As matters grow worse, he begins to use a combination of high-power sedative and liquor to quiet his nerves so he can go to work. Then comes the day when he simply cannot make it and gets drunk all over again. Perhaps he goes to a doctor who gives him morphine or some sedative with which to taper off. Then he begins to appear at hospitals and sanitariums. This is by no means a comprehensive picture of the true alcoholic, as our behavior patterns vary, but this description should identify him roughly. Why does he behave like this? If hundreds of experiences have shown him that one drink means another debacle with all its attendant suffering and humiliation, why is it he takes that one drink? Why can't he stay on the water wagon? What has become of the common sense and willpower that he still sometimes displays with respect to other matters? Perhaps there never will be a full answer to these questions. Opinions vary considerably as to why the alcoholic reacts differently from normal people. We are not sure why, once a certain point is reached, little can be done for him. We cannot answer the riddle. So I think here, guys, they've really explained something. There's the three different variations they talk about: the moderate drinker or user, the hard drinker or user, and then the real alcoholic or the real addict. And for the moderate users and drinkers, they can give it up entirely if they have a good reason for it. So, you know, they decide they don't want to, the consequences are getting to be too much, things like that. Then you've got the hard drinker. They drink a little bit too much or use a little bit too much drugs, and it could cause them to die a little bit early. But if they have a really strong reason, like ill health, like the doctor telling them you can't keep doing this, or your liver's shot, or your nose is going to fall apart, or whatever, or if they fall in love and their partner doesn't really like the amount they consume, they can stop. It might be a little more difficult, but they can. And that type of person is actually the most dangerous for a real alcoholic and a real addict, because the people that can stop on their own power, more power to them, like that's incredible. But for somebody like me that drinks and uses to the gates of insanity and death, I can't stop on my own power. And when I'm hanging out with people like that, I think I can. My mind will delude me and tell me that I can stop on my own power. And then I can't, and the guilt and shame is on me, and I'm out doing it again. And so when it continues on here to talk about the real alcoholic, that is me to a T. You know, I do absurd and incredible tragic things while drinking and using. I really was a Dr. Jekyll and a Mr. Hyde. Like, I, when I was under the influence, was not the same Megan as who was sober. Well, I wasn't sober, but not using. It was a terrible way to live. And the thing is, the book goes on later to talk about how if you be the alcoholic of our type, the only solution we found to work, and we claim no monopoly, but there are other ways, but the only way we found that worked and provided total abstinence and a serene, stable life was a spiritual solution. You know, there's a line in here talks about we had but two alternatives: to continue blotting out the consciousness of our intolerable situation as best we could, or the other was to accept spiritual help. There was no door number three. And I have a concern right now, and that's why I'm recording this specific podcast, because there's a lot of people in the recovery community right now who have the ability to stop on their own power. And I think that's absolutely incredible, and I commend them. And I think it's great that they've been able to stop and are sharing their experience with others. Where it becomes an issue is I tried everything possible to stop on my own power, every possible thing, and I couldn't do it. It wasn't possible for me. If you're a real alcoholic, real addict of the hopeless variety, you may need some help with that. You may need the steps, you may need the spiritual help. And again, maybe that's not the way it happens for you. Whatever works, works for you. But for me, an alcoholic of my type, and I've met many throughout my years, a spiritual solution is the only way that seems to provide permanent abstinence without relapse. That's just been my experience. I'm not trying to offend anyone by sharing this. It's the facts based out of my experience. Because I tried all the things listed in those, like, why don't you switch beer and wine? And I did that. And, I had a beautiful daughter, and why couldn't I stop for her? And all that would happen was more guilt and shame would get on me because I'd try and I wouldn't be successful. And once I, for me, found the 12 steps and worked the 12 steps and continue to practice those principles in all my affairs, my life is a complete 180 from what it used to be. And it isn't possible for me to do that on my own power because I tried and I tried and I tried and I just kept letting everybody down. So I think it's important to figure out where in that variation were you a moderate drinker user, a hard drinker user, or were you the real deal? And if you were the real deal of the hopeless variety, I think it's possible you may need to accept a spiritual solution. And for those listeners who have family, maybe you can discuss this with them. Maybe they're, able to stop on their own. And I really wish that was the possibility for everyone. But this book was written in 1935, and they knew a lot back then. And it still holds true today for the alcoholics of the real alcoholic variety. So the other one I wanted to share with you guys today is out of the chapter Two Wives. I'm just going to flip to it here, where they're explaining to the wives the four different types of husbands they may have. And again, just see where you guys land in this. One, your husband may be only a heavy drinker or user. His drinking or using may be constant, or it may be heavy only on certain occasions. Perhaps he spends too much money for liquor. It may be slowing him up mentally and physically, but he does not see it. Sometimes he is a source of embarrassment to you and his friends. He is positive he can handle his liquor, that it does him no harm, that drinking is a necessity in his business. He would probably be insulted if he were called an alcoholic. This world is full of people like him. Some will moderate or stop altogether, and some will not. Of those who keep on, a good number will become true alcoholics after a while. Type 2. Your husband is showing lack of control, for he is unable to stay on the water wagon even when he wants to. He often gets entirely out of hand when drinking. He admits this is true, but is positive that he will do better. He has begun to try, with or without your cooperation, various means of moderating or staying dry. Maybe he is beginning to lose his friends. His business may suffer somewhat. He is worried at times and is becoming aware that he cannot drink like other people. He sometimes drinks in the morning and through the day also to hold his nervousness in check. He is remorseful after serious drinking bouts and tells you he wants to stop. But when he gets over the spree, he begins to think once more how he can drink moderately next time. We think this person is in danger. These are the earmarks of a real alcoholic. Perhaps he can still tend to business fairly well. He has by no means ruined everything. As we say among ourselves, he wants to stop. Type 3. This husband has gone much further than husband number 2. Though once like number 2, he becomes worse. His friends have slipped away, his home is a near wreck, and he cannot hold a position. Maybe the doctor has been called in, and the weary round of sanitariums and hospitals has begun, or in our case, this is in brackets for me, detoxes and treatment centers. He admits he cannot drink like other people, but does not see why. He clings to the notion that he will yet find a way to do so. He may have come to the point where he desperately wants to stop but cannot. His case presents additional questions, which we shall try to answer for you. You can be quite hopeful of a situation like this. And type number 4. You may have a husband of whom you completely despair. He has been placed in one institution after another. He is violent or appears definitely insane when drunk. Sometimes he drinks on the way home from the hospital. Perhaps he has delirium tremens. Doctors may shake their heads and advise you to have him committed. Maybe you have already been obliged to put him away. This picture may not be as dark as it looks. Many of our husbands were just as far gone, yet they got well. So again, here they're describing 4 different levels of alcoholism or addiction. Please substitute the words alcohol for drug and alcoholism for addiction as necessary. But obviously it gets worse as the stages go on, right? And for me, I was a type 4. Like, my family had signed off on, they committed me. That's actually what the beginning stages of my recovery were, was I was committed to not an asylum, but a psychiatric hospital. And I think it's kind of important that we clarify the varying degrees of alcoholism and addiction, because yes, anyone that's in it, it's bad. No matter what level you're at, it's bad if it's affecting your life so negatively that you need to stop. I just think, like I said, there's getting to be some confusion, because if I had listened to people that could stop on their own power, I don't think I would have stopped, and I'd be dead. Because let's be real here, people, I was dead and emerged in 2009, not because of an overdose, but because of poorly controlled diabetes mixed with vodka, sugary coolers, mixed with, like, just, it was a mess. And the doctors told me at that time, if I continued to drink, I'd be dead within a year. And within a week, I was drinking again. And I didn't know why. And I think it's really important that we notice here that had I been a hard drinker, that advice of the doctor would have been good enough to make me stop. And I wanted to stop, but I wasn't capable to stop, because I'm a type 3 real alcoholic addict, and I will continue to use until it kills me. It will kill everything in my life first, all my relationships, my emotional, mental, and physical well-being. But physical death will be the last thing. My spiritual death will have, like, everything of value in my life, not materialistically, but in the spiritual and emotional realms, will die. And I'll be left in my misery, feeling restless, irritable, and discontent. And at that point, the only thing I know to do is pick up a substance. And that's a horrible, horrible way to live. So if you think that you may be the real alcoholic, or the fourth husband, number 4 in the chapter to wives there, if those things really rang true for you, please reach out to me, because I would love to talk to you. You're not alone. That's the other thing. It feels so lonesome, and you feel so alone when you're struggling. And I mean, anybody that's listening, if you're any of those types, I would love to talk to you, but just those ones specifically, because I think there can be some confusion when listening to some people about recovery. And if you have an alcoholic addict mind like mine, you'll hear that they did it on their own. And that sounds a lot easier than asking for help, because to ask for help was really hard when I first came in. So I'm here for you. I hope you're having an incredible day. And if any of you have any loved ones that you think would benefit from hearing this, please share it with them. Connect me with them. I would love to be of service. So I hope you guys, like I said, have an incredible day. And remember, you deserve an epic life. And if you don't believe that, I believe that for you until you can believe it yourself. I love you till you can love yourself. And I'm here if you need me. Have a great day, guys. Enrollment is currently open for my Soul Full program. For all the details, go to my Instagram profile, go to the link in my bio, and you can get all the information there. It's going to be epic, and you don't want to miss it. Enrollment closes on August 7th, so check it out. Until we meet again, Lean in to get soulful. Thank you for meeting me soul to soul today on the Soulful Podcast. If this episode connected with you and you feel called to, please share it with your friends and family so they can feel the love as well. Also, don't forget to hit subscribe on your podcast player so you get notified when new episodes drop. Please leave a rating and comment so I know what's touching your soul the most and can bring you more of what you long for. If you have suggestions for topics or would like me to speak at your event, please connect with me at soulfullsobriety@gmail.com. Thank you for your love and support in helping me connect with more souls to remind them they are divine, capable, and loved. You're the best. Go out looking at the world through the lens of love.